The Path to Unconditional Love, Chapter 34, Breathing. Once, we were walking with the teacher in the gorge of Western Dagomis, admiring the layered rocks and picturesque forests with boxwood bushes, ancient beeches, and chestnuts growing on their slopes. The gorge silently preserved the thousand of years during which this terrain had been forming. Rocks fell, large blocks chipped off from the stone, and small streams of water wore them away over the centuries. It was a hot afternoon. The sun's disk hung high in the sky, and the air, driven by a light wind, caressed the skin with a dry, hot breeze. Admiring the stunning views that opened up to us from the bottom of the gorge, we reached a large lake. Its shore had been formed by ancient layers of rock. The brims surrounded the lake, making it look like a large bowl or font. The water in it was crystal clear, even from a distance. The rocky bottom could be seen through the water layer. The lake was quite cool. It beckoned us, inviting us to plunge into its waters, to absorb the clean energy of this amazing place. We decided to swim here, and then make a small stop on the picturesque shore. As I kicked off my sandals and stepped barefoot on the stones smoothed by nature, I felt the life-giving moisture touch my ankles, shins, and thighs. I plunged into the lake quickly, and my body, heated after a long walk in the hot weather, responded gratefully to the touch of the scalding, icy water. Taking a deep breath in and holding it, I dove as if I were in some other world where voices from above were heard as barely discernible muffled echoes, where for thousands of years there had been silence, coolness, and peace. When I came up, I felt reborn. The air rushed into my lungs, forcing them to work again, carrying oxygen to all my organs, filling the body with life. The sun's disk still hung high in the sky, sending its life-giving rays to the earth. Next to me, I saw my brothers and sisters, and then I saw him. The teacher had been already standing on the shore, water trickling from his hair to his strong shoulders. He looked up suddenly and smiled at me, and at that moment I suddenly felt an incredible spiritual uplift and immeasurable gratitude to God for giving me the opportunity to be here, to follow this path, for giving me the opportunity to be close to the great sage. After our swim, we sat on the beautiful shore next to the water, in the shade of the thick beech trees that grew so close to the lake that their mighty branches hung over the ground like the arms of giants. We all looked at the teacher in joyful expectation, knowing that now was the time to listen to his wisdom. Have you ever thought about the fact that you cannot do anything? The great sage asked us. How can this be? Vadim was surprised. I woke up today, went to the bathroom, had breakfast. I did a lot, he retorted. It is what your body makes you do. And even if you wanted to stay awake or refrain from eating or going to the bathroom, you would not be able to do it, or else you would die. In this case, everything you do is determined by the needs of the body. The body is the master, and you are its slave, forced to live its life. The only thing you can do is eat correctly, sleep well, and so on, so that your body is healthy and less of a nuisance. But even this is difficult to do, since a person has little will to cope with bad habits. The teacher summed up, So, we have established that in many ways it is our body that acts and not us. What else rules us? Someone suggested, Society. This is right, said the sage. This is what makes us study at school, at university, serve in the army, work, have family and children. Although having children is a function of the body, society gives us a template of how many children is acceptable. We have a norm of one or two children. But in India, this is considered few. They need more, like 6 or 8, and so on. Society also shapes the needs of the body, such as eating. In China, for example, they eat worms, spiders, rats, and so on. But we do not accept this. And so, it is in everything. Our life is regulated by society through special devices, false personalities that are passed on to us from childhood through education, suggestion, and our monkey imitation of other people. A person may be told, You are a German, so be a fascist. Go, fight for Hitler's ass to make his delusional ideas come true. Or that you are a Muslim, so participate in jihad. Kill the unfaithful of Islam. And there are a lot of such suggestions which determine everything in our life. And people do not even notice this slavery. A conditional reflex of Pavlov's dogs is formed in them. You get an A, well done, get a pat on the back. But if you get an F, get a pat on the neck. And so, the person becomes afraid to get an F in their adult life, to be dressed unfashionable, to receive a small salary and so on, afraid to be condemned by others. The person remembers being punished for an F as a child, and this fear and pain comes up within them, and they are afraid to do anything they might be judged for. And because of this, the person becomes a slave. What about punks? Alexei asked. They protest against society. This is good, the teacher said. But they are also conditioned by their punk community, wearing mohawk haircuts, chains, and so on. If they went further and observed more, studied themselves more, and eliminated all forms of slavery, they would become enlightened. But often, with age, they degrade due to drinking and drug addiction because they do not understand that they are simply changing one form of society for or another. This also applies for hippies, Krishnists, and other forms of social minorities. What about passion for music? Alona asked. If a person has any talents or tendencies, this is closer to his own nature, his essence. But this is determined by his cosmogram, that is, the position of the stars at his birth. Also, astrological aspects of planets determine the time for all events that are embedded in his fate. When a person will go bankrupt, get rich, if it is in his cosmogram, in his fate, when he will get sick, recover, meet his love, and when he will make a mistake. A lot is determined by the stars. And so, the form of music that a person will play is determined by society. If he lives in the taiga, in a shamanic settlement, he will play the drum. Yet in the Middle Ages, he would play classical music. And in our time, it can be rap, and so on. How can we get rid of these influences? I asked the great sage. That is a good question, Roxana. The teacher said, to do this, we must not consider all the thoughts, emotions, and desires of the body that come to us as our own, not as a guide to action, but as external influences. This is the only way to get rid of them. We need to see where this influence is coming from and choose which influences we need. Let us say that exalted emotions come from God. So, if we are influenced by them, they can free us from lower, destructive, or stupid influences. What stops us from seeing them? Regina asked. It is the daydreaming state a person is in. How can we escape from a daydreaming state? Nata asked. To do this, said the teacher, you need to do the spiritual practice of counting your breaths. Carefully observe and feel your every breath and count them. Oh, it's very simple, said Paul. I can easily do it. Take your time, said the teacher. You do not yet know the power of sleepiness and the weakness of your will. Take this spiritual practice more seriously as a great battle for freedom. Here, the most important thing is to free your attention from all influences and be able to focus it at will. In this case, on your breathing. Since the breathing is always with us, this is easy to do. The main thing is just to observe and not change your breathing. We packed up and continued along the gorge of Western Dagomis in silence, trying to count our breathings. We passed amazing waterfalls, rapids, and lakes, situated in small rock baths. There were a lot of them here, and almost all such lakes went one after another in cascades. One ended, and just a few meters down the river, the next began. Between the lakes, the water flowed, forming small but very beautiful waterfalls, rarely a meter high. We moved in silence past boxwood trees and shrubs, from the branches of which hung lumps of green moss resembling the beards of fairy dwarfs. Some lakes were round and shallow, others were narrower, longer, and deeper. The water in them had a rich green hue and glittered under the sun rays like precious emeralds. Finally, we stopped again at a lake where huge blocks of stone lay. Once, many years ago, these huge chunks had broken away from the rocks and thundered down, sweeping away everything in their path. Over the centuries, they had been eroded by water, erasing sharp edges and rounding contours. Now, we were faced with perfectly smooth boulders that we wanted to look at. Marveling at how the pliant, smooth, flowing water element could change the solid, unyielding monolith, we stopped to look at the lake and the high waterfall that flowed down the steep wall of the gorge with noisy sprays. "How many breathings did each of you count?" asked the sage. I said, "Once 7 times, then I forgot about it, and when I remembered again, I counted 11 more breathings. But again, I was distracted by my thoughts, and only now, when you asked, did I remember to count my breathing again?"
"That is a good observation," replied the teacher. Others said almost the same thing. Someone counted to 30 or even 40 breathings. Only Vadim said that he counted 450 breathings.
"And you have never been distracted?" the teacher asked. "Yes, I was distracted, but the count went by itself. However, at the end, I noticed that the count had been going by itself, and the breath went separately."
"There should not be such mechanical counting," the teacher said. "The main thing is not just to count, but to focus on the breathing, to feel it. Now you see your daydreaming and lack of will, that you cannot do even such a simple task."
"It's just out of habit," Pavel said. "When we develop this habit, everything will go well."
"Habit will make this effort mechanical. That is, you will count your breathing and at the same time think about something else," the great sage objected. "It is not the right thing to do. There must be a conscious effort, and it cannot become habitual. Although, of course, with practice, it will be easier to do so. This simple spiritual practice will help you to overcome daydreaming and see all the influences that will try to take you and distract your attention from breathing. Your life will become a pranayama of perfection if you spend every breath in full awareness."
"And what should we do to improve this spiritual practice?" I asked.
"To do this, you need 3 things. concentration, memory, and conscience. Attention is the most important thing, but you need to remind yourself and others of the need to remember this spiritual practice. Make reminders, set alarm clocks, and build associations. Let us say you program yourself that as soon as you enter a room, you will remember about this spiritual practice, and so on and so forth. And you also need a conscience to take the spiritual practice seriously, since a frivolous attitude will not yield a serious result. The fight against daydreaming sleepiness should be a matter of life and death. Only then can you go through all the intervals and achieve awakening.
What should I do if something hurts and distracts me? Netta asked.
Then you can focus on this pain or what your hands are doing, if it is some kind of physical work. The main thing is not to go beyond the body into thoughts, dreams, and memories. When you eat, focus on the taste and chewing and use all the sensations that help you focus. When walking, focus on your feet, in the sauna, on the heated skin, and so on.
How can we feel the state of awakening, the state of awareness? I asked.
You need to feel the body, the teacher said, but also hear all the sounds of your surroundings and look carefully at everything around you. Then there will be no time to think, and you will feel the reality.
And they say that the world is a dream of God, that it is illusory. Is that true or not? Asked Anton.
The world is not as you see it, said the sage. It was created by the thought of God, like a computer game, and we are all in this game. But to understand this, you need to wake up. Look, you think the stone is hard, but it is not, said the teacher, and put his hand on the stone. It bent like soft clay, and the great sage's handprint appeared on it. Oh, look! It's a miracle! Everyone started shouting, looking at the stone.
So you can do anything you want? Netta asked.
No, said the teacher. I cannot interfere with the game of God, with his plan. Before I perform miracles, I always ask God's permission, and if he allows it, I do it. After all, his game is a school of God, and everything in it has a deep meaning.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website, www.amazonone.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.